Welcome to the NTEB Radio Bible Study with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good evening, everybody. Happy Sunday night, and welcome to this edition of Rightly Dividing. My name is Jeff Greider. I am the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com, and tonight, for the next 2 hours, I have the honor and the privilege of being your radio host and Bible teacher. In Titus 2:13, talking about the rapture, Paul calls it the blessed hope. It's a day of great comfort and joy. But in Amos 5:18, talking about the day of the Lord, which is in fact the second coming of Jesus Christ, God tells us that this is a day of great woe and greatly to be feared. Now, how can the rapture and the second coming possibly be the same? 1 Thessalonians 4:15 through 18 say this, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." On this episode of Rightly Dividing, we are looking at some of the differences between the rapture of the church and the revelation of Jesus Christ at the second advent. When the rapture takes place, the dead in Christ shall rise first, but what exactly does that really mean? We break it all down for you, comparing and contrasting what we find there at the rapture with the events that take place at the revelation. Paul calls the rapture of the church the day of Christ. The second coming is called the day of the Lord. The day of Christ is to be looked forward to. The day of the Lord is to be feared. Things that are different are not the same. Please join us for this exciting look at end times Bible prophecy, and we're very glad that you're here. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, as the chat room starts to fill up and people are coming in from all over the world to open up their King James Bibles and to study your preserved word, Lord. We ask that you would meet with us tonight. We ask, Father God, that you would send your Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us into all truth. And we thank you for a good time in the Word this morning, Lord. And we thank you for everything that you do. We thank you for the food on the table. We thank you for the clothes on our back. And we thank you for the roof over our head. And Father God, we commit this time to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Well, tonight's topic, as we are talking, we are going to be traveling a somewhat familiar path. We're going to be talking about the differences between the pre-tribulation rapture of the church and the second coming of Jesus Christ. I call this from rapture to revelation. And in between the pre-tribulation rapture and the revelation at Jesus Christ at the second coming, we see that there is approximately a 7-year period of time that is going to transpire from the time that the church is removed in the rapture to the time that we reappear with Jesus Christ at the revelation, the second coming, the second advent of Jesus Christ. And I have had a number of you write to me requesting that we have this Bible study, specifically in 1 Thessalonians 4:15 through 18. One of the main questions that we have tonight when you look at the passage, who is it that rises first? Now, is that going to be all of the modern day saints that have died in Christ? Is that going to go all the way back to the first century? What does the Bible say? Who are the dead in Christ that shall rise first before we, which are alive and remain on the earth, are taken in the rapture? Well, we're going to talk about that tonight because the Bible absolutely identifies the dead in Christ. And it's very clear, it's very plain, and we're going to be looking at that tonight. There are so many moving parts to this period of time that you can never possibly ever study this topic too much. And every time that we dive deep into it, we always come up with a couple of fresh bites that we didn't get the last time around. And so I am trusting that the Lord will work and move as he always does here in our Bible studies, and will give us some fresh insight on these prophecies that are literally right around the corner, and we are waiting for them to be fulfilled. And we don't know when the pre-tribulation rapture is going to take place. We know approximately the time of year, springtime. Today is May 30th, 2021 at 9:05 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Summer does not start until Tuesday. So we are still in springtime. Now, am I saying that the rapture is going to take place between now and Tuesday? No, I am not saying it's going to take place between now and Tuesday, but it certainly could. There's nothing stopping it. The two conditions that are laid out in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, I think they're already fulfilled. So what are we waiting for? We're waiting for the Lord. That's what we're waiting for. All of this is about waiting for the Lord. Now, the Bible says this, and we talked about this at our camp meeting in Isaiah 62. Isaiah 62, verses 6 and 7. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest till he establish and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Now, Jerusalem cannot become a praise in the earth until King Jesus returns with us on white horses in Revelation chapter 19. Now, we return with Jesus Christ at the second coming to fight the battle of Armageddon that we also see in Revelation 19 and Matthew 24, and Zechariah 14, and a whole bunch of places. But the second coming can't happen until the Great Tribulation takes place. That is a 3.5 year period of time. And the Great Tribulation is the second half of the 7 year time of Jacob's trouble. Now, the time of Jacob's trouble cannot take place until the pre-tribulation rapture of the church takes place. So, when Isaiah says in Isaiah 62, 7, and give him no rest till he establish and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth, well, none of those things can happen until the pre-tribulation rapture takes place. So, tonight we are going to fulfill Isaiah 62, 6 and Isaiah 62, 7. We are not going to hold our peace. We are not going to keep our silence, and we are not going to give the Lord any rest till he comes and gets us, as he promised to do. John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. And Jesus says that he goes to prepare a place for us. And he says, and if I go, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. All of this begins with the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. That means we are almost home.
Are you disappointed? Are you desperate for hell? You know what it's like to be tired and only a shell of yourself. Will you start to believe you don't have what it takes? Cause it's all you can do just to move, much less finish the race. But don't forget what lies ahead. Heaven to us, but make no mistake, there's still more to come when our flesh and our bone are no longer between where we are right now and where we're meant to be. When all that's been lost is made whole.
When we see what a wicked place this world has become, we cry out. We say, Lord, come get us. We say, Lord, come get us out of here. And wickedness is rising, not with each passing year or month or week. It's rising on a daily basis. Popular children's cartoon, Blue's Clues. They have a pride parade cartoon that shows a drag queen serenading non-binary pansexual animals. Popular kids show Blue's Clues has teamed up with the drag queen Nina West in a video aimed at celebrating Gay Pride Month. The sing-along video for preschoolers, which was posted Friday to Nickelodeon's YouTube channel, shows the famed cartoon dog introduce a cartoon where a procession of animals with various queer identities is serenaded by RuPaul's Drag Race contestant Nina West. The video, titled The Blue's Clues Pride Parade Sing Along features a cartoon version of the drag queen singing about all types of family arrangements, including transgender, gay, and non-binary parents and children. This is the world that we live in. Now, as shocking as all that sounded, that is a cartoon that is being marketed to preschool children. Now, I want you to think about that for a second. All that disgusting stuff that I just told you is marketed to preschool children. That's the target audience. This is the world that we live in. And the Apostle Paul warned about these things. 2 Timothy 3:1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, and covetous, and boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. There are 18 different things mentioned in those verses that I just read to you from 2 Timothy 3 verses 1 through 4. There are 18 different things that Paul said will be a sign of the last days and the perilous times that come with the last days. Now, why are there 18 different things that Paul says to watch out for? Because 6 plus 6 plus 6 equals 18. And every single one of these things that Paul mentions in 2 Timothy 3 verses 1 through 4 are all hallmarks, traits, and features of Antichrist and people who follow Antichrist. And I want you to think about that. I don't like bringing you stories about Blue's Clues Pride Parade with a drag queen serenading non-binary pansexual animals. I don't like talking about those things at all, and I wish I didn't have to. But it's our job to warn you and alert you to the seriousness of the times that we live in. Why do we go street preaching? Because Blue's Clues is putting out cartoons aimed at preschool children to indoctrinate them. Why do we go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that God's house may be full? Because people die every single day and they go to a place called hell that has literal, actual flames. You and I, brothers and sisters, are on the front lines of the end times. That's not marketing. When we tell you that, when I look into the microphone and I say the war is real, the battle is hot, and the time is short, and then I call you to the fight, that's not marketing. That is alerting you to the end times fight that you need to get in to get something done for the Lord Jesus Christ. C.T. Studd, only one life 'twill soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. Don't you want to get something done for the Lord Jesus Christ before the rapture takes place? The rapture is going to be a fantastic event. I look forward to it all day, every day. I think about that every single day and every single night. When I leave the studio, when this program is done and I drive home with my top down because it's beautiful weather here in Florida, here in the free state of Florida, and I'm going to look up into the sky as I drive to see if I can see the stars, to see if I can see the moon. And regardless of what I see, I'm going to look up into the night sky and I'm going to say, Lord, come get us. Come get us tonight. And I'm not going to give him any rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. And this is what we are called to do. If you're going to call yourself a Christian, if you're going to call yourself a Bible believer, this is what Bible believers do. I'm not talking about being an independent fundamental Baptist. I'm not talking about being a member of any denomination. There are no denominations in heaven. There is just the body of Christ. Tonight, we're going to be talking about the body of Christ. That is mentioned specifically in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, which is our main text for tonight. And I trust that it will be a blessing to you. Very, very glad that you're here with us tonight. Remember, Paul says that we're soldiers. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Are you a soldier? Are you on the battlefield? It's time to fight.
Tell my story, all who love the Savior come.
If you're just tuning in, we're looking at Bible prophecy from the pre-tribulation rapture of the church all the way up to the second coming of Jesus Christ at the Battle of Armageddon. And that is our topic tonight, and already we have a lot of questions that are pouring in, and we're going to do our best to answer those questions tonight. If you don't know about our free King James Bible and Gospel Track program, let me take just a minute to tell you about it. For about the past year and a half now, we have had what we call the NTEB Free Ruckman Reference Bible and Gospel Track program. For those of you who desire a good study Bible, but for whatever reason you can't afford one, we will be happy to send you one with a packet of gospel tracks completely for free at no charge to you. All you have to do is go to BibleBeliever.com and click on the button that says free. And we have these Bibles in Spanish and in English. And this program is made possible because fellow brother and sister believers, they send in money and they donate to make this possible. It is expensive to send out this many free Bibles to people around the world. But praise the Lord, we are sending out hundreds of these Bibles around the world to people who request them. And what a blessing it is to be able to put the Word of God into somebody's hands who can't afford the Word of God. So we have this free Bible and Gospel Track program. And if you need to take advantage of that program, we certainly hope and pray that you do. And we are thrilled when people write to us and request a free King James Bible. We are very, very happy to send it out. We are also with our billboard program. Next week, we are putting up billboard number 4, and many of you have written to me asking how you can get involved with the NTEB Gospel Witness billboard program. All you have to do is send us a donation for any amount, and we will apply that to what it costs to keep these billboards up. It costs $700 a month for a digital billboard, and it costs about $1,100 a month for a vinyl billboard. And next week, we are going to put up billboard number 4. So if you would like to be part of that program, all you have to do is send in a donation for any amount and just tell us that you want to apply it to the billboard program, and we will be happy to do that. We are thrilled. So many of you have been sending in funding already, and that's how we're getting to billboard number 4. We're able to do those things, like the billboard program, like the free Bible and Gospel Track program. We are able to do those things because you guys are very generous and you want it to happen. So as long as you keep sending in those donations, we will keep sending out free Bibles, free gospel tracts, and we'll keep putting up end times gospel witness billboards. And I am thrilled to see Now the End Begins reach this level and expand to this level. And here in St. Augustine, we are probably going to get about 7 or 8 million tourists who will come to St. Augustine and enjoy our beaches and our fantastic downtown. St. Augustine is a tourist destination here in the free state of Florida. And St. Augustine is the oldest city in America. It is the first city in America. In fact, it was created by the Spanish about 200 years before America even came into being. So St. Augustine, America's oldest city, and now St. Augustine has a tremendous billboard gospel witness where these millions of tourists who are going to come here this summer are going to drive past one of these four billboards. And I don't know about you, but that is a blessing that God is allowing us to reach literally millions of people, not just online, but right here in real life, in 3D, face-to-face. And many, many people are already seeing the billboards and talking about it. And it's exciting to see this happen. And these things are happening because you guys pray, you guys give, you guys donate. And I've always told you, the more you give, the more we will do. And I am excited to think that when God blows that trumpet, that voice like a trumpet, and calls us up and out of here, I want us all to be operating on all eight cylinders at maximum capacity. Isn't that how you'd like to go out in the pre-tribulation rapture? Wouldn't you like to go out on the front lines of the end times, actively trying to get something done for the Lord? That's how I want to go out. And I think that's how you want to go out as well. And with that, look at the time. It is time to start tonight's Bible study.
One day, Jesus is coming. You may be at church. You may be at work. You may be asleep. God grant that you will be ready when he makes his personal appearance. My God, what if his appearance occurs on a Sunday morning? My prophetic word to you this morning is get ready! Get ready!
יברכך אדוני וישמרך. יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונקה. יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We thank you for all these that you've gathered here live in the chat room and who are listening live. And we thank you, Lord, for all the people who will listen to these programs in the archives. And Lord, we ask you to use us and get something done through us. Every single person here, Lord, is sold out to you. We are on the front lines. And when you call us up and out in the rapture, we want so much to be operating at peak capacity. And I just pray with all my heart, Father God, that you would give each and every one of us revival fire. I'm not talking about international revival. I'm not even talking about national revival. I'm talking about reviving each and every one of us as individuals and personally. Meet with us here tonight, Lord. Open up the pages of your word and show us the truth, Lord, that you've written. And Lord, if nobody wants you, we want you. If nobody wants your King James Bible, we want your King James Bible. If most Christians don't even believe in the doctrine of the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, we sure do. We absolutely sure do. And Lord, I ask you to do something with us as a church family, as the NTEB body of Bible believers around the world. Do something with us, Father. And I thank you so much for how you're expanding our borders. And I thank you, Lord, for this free Bible and gospel track program that's been It's been going on for over a year and a half now. The Billboard Gospel Witness Program. Lord, I can't believe that we're getting ready to put up Billboard number 4. That boggles my mind that you would give us the resources to do that. And I pray, Lord, that you would let us do even more than that. Lord, use us in any way that is good and right to you. And we'll give you all the honor and the glory. And if there's one listening tonight, Father God, who doesn't know you in pardon and forgiveness of their sins, if they're lost, we pray that something would be said and done to lead a lost soul to you, Lord. And for those of us who are saved, please bless the reading of your word and the teaching of your word. And God, I thank you for making me a Bible teacher. I love doing this. I love these programs. I love the questions. This is the course that you've given me. And I pray, Lord, that anybody listening who doesn't know what their course is, that you would make it clear and plain to them. Give us all a job to do for you, Lord, that we may have something that will make it through the fires of the judgment seat of Christ. And we thank you and we praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome, everybody. Very, very glad that you're here tonight. Chat room is, it's pretty good, coming up on 200 people. I think that's very good for a holiday weekend night. And we had a great time in the Word this morning. We had a really, really good house church Sunday morning service. And tonight, by popular request, I don't like to plan out these Bible studies until the day of, maybe the day before. And the reason for that is I like to be fresh. I like to have an organic topic. I mean, every once in a while, God will put something on my heart and I'll really plan something out. But mostly, I think a really, really good Bible study is when you study and you pour all this stuff in. And then you let the Lord decide what he wants you to focus on. And today, Brother Andrew sent me an email. And let me take a look here. I don't know if I got it today or yesterday. I actually got it on Friday, but I didn't read it till this morning. And Brother Andrew says, my father and I were wondering if you could do a Bible study on 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We are trying to figure out how far back the souls who will go to heaven from the graves before us. And he says, does this represent dead Christians as a whole in the church age, or recent Christians who have passed on? And that's an excellent question. And I thank Andrew for writing in on Friday and sending me that question. Now, Southern Bell has a question. She says, one thing I wonder if you can mention tonight is what exactly will indicate to the world that the 7-year tribulation period has begun. Is it the confirming of the covenant with many which reveals the Antichrist? And is there anything specific besides this, or in addition to this? Please let me know. Thank you. So we have two really, really good starting points to talk about tonight. And I'm going to start with Southern Bell's question first. Southern Bell says, can you tell me exactly what will indicate to the world that the 7-year tribulation period has begun? So the first thing that we want to understand, turn to Matthew chapter 24 and let's see where Jesus mentions the tribulation. Turn to Matthew chapter 24 and look down where it says, Matthew chapter 24, and this is where it talks about the Great Tribulation. Matthew 24, 21. No, Matthew 24, we've got to read the whole passage. Matthew 24, starting in verse 15, and we're going to go to verse 22. Matthew 24:15 through 22. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed. Same thing here, Matthew 24:15. Spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. And we know that that's the mountains of the red rock city of Celopetra. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, but pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, that's the Jewish people, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And the Bible says this. The Bible says that the time of the Great Tribulation is a 3.5-year time period. The Great Tribulation is not a 7-year period. So that's the first thing that we have to understand. Daniel 11:35, and some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge and to make them white, even to the time of the end, for it is yet for a time appointed. Daniel 12:7, and I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, here it is, that it shall be for a time, that's 1 year, times, that's 2 years, 2 + 1 = 3, and in half. We're in Daniel 12:27. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. So Daniel says that the great tribulation is for a time, times, and a half of times. And that's repeated again in Revelation 12:14. Revelation 12:14 says, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and half a time, from the face of the serpent. So, the first thing that we have to understand, and this is to answer Southern Bell's question, the Great Tribulation is not a 7-year time period. The Great Tribulation is for a time, times, and half a time. That is 3.5 years. The Bible also says it this way. It says a time, times, and half a time, or a time and a half. But it also says 42 months. Revelation 11:2 says, but the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city, that's Jerusalem, shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Now, do you know how many years 42 months is? It's 3.5 years. Revelation 13:5 says the same thing. Revelation 13:5, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. So, the Bible says it in two different ways. It calls it time, times, and half a time, and it calls it 42 months. But 42 months is 3.5 years. So this is what we have to understand first and foremost, that the Great Tribulation is a 3.5-year time period. But the Great Tribulation is part of, turn to Jeremiah chapter 30. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 30. The Great Tribulation is part of the 7-year time period of something called the time of Jacob's trouble. Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 1 through 7. Jeremiah 30, verses 1 through 7. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Thus speak the Lord God of Israel, saying, Write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah." That happened on May 14th, 1948, saith the Lord, "and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it." May 14th, 1948. And these are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus saith the Lord, "We have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now, and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." Now turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:3. Every once in a while, I'll get into a conversation with a preterist. And if you don't know what a preterist is somebody who believes that all the end times Bible prophecy was fulfilled in AD 70. And they say that the time of Jacob's trouble happened when the Roman armies burned the temple down to the ground and destroyed it and drove Israel out into the four corners of the world. But we know that that can't be true, because Jeremiah 30, verse 3 says, the thing that precedes the time of Jacob's trouble is God regathering his people back to the land of Israel. So we know that the time of Jacob's trouble is preceded by a regathering. That regathering took place on May 14th, 1948, 73 years ago. Now, here's your second clue. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 3, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." Now Paul is going to reference Jeremiah 30, 5 through 7 right here. 1 Thessalonians 5:3 is a reference to the time of Jacob's trouble. 1 Thessalonians 5:3, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." And then he says, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness." Now, why is that important? That turn to Amos 5:18. Paul says that if you're part of the body of Christ, you are not of the night, and you are not in darkness. But guess what? Everybody who goes through the time of Jacob's trouble is going to be in darkness. How do I know that? Look at Amos 5:18. "Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light." Now, Paul says that if you're part of the body of Christ, you're not going to be of the night. You are not going to be in the darkness. Why? Because you're going to be removed before the start of the time of Jacob's trouble. Now, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And so I think that we've answered most of Southern Bell's question. There is a part two that we'll get back to in just a little bit. She's asking about signs that precede the rapture. And we will talk about that when we get into 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But it's important to understand that the Great Tribulation is not 7 years. It is a 3.5 year time period. We have another question. Does the Bible define when Satan is thrown out of heaven in relation to the rapture tribulation? Could he be thrown down before the rapture? That's an excellent question, and we will get to that. But let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and now we're going to answer Andrew's question. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 18. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, there are many, many points that we have to look at here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 18. But let me start by saying this. If you're a Christian who does not believe that the Bible teaches a pre-tribulation rapture of the church, you are 100% wrong. The Bible absolutely teaches a pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And from time to time, people will say, well, you got that from Schofield, or you got that from Larkin or Ruckman, or you got that from John Nelson Darby, or you got that from Mary McDonald. And the answer is no. I didn't get those things from those people that I just mentioned. Where do I read about a pre-tribulation rapture of the church? I read about it in the Bible. The Apostle Paul teaches a pre-tribulation rapture of the church. The Apostle John teaches a pre-tribulation rapture of the church. Jesus teaches a pre-tribulation rapture of the church. You will notice that just about every time I say the word rapture, I use the expression pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And the reason why I do that is there's more than one rapture in the Bible. Matthew chapter 24 absolutely shows you a rapture. But as we're going to see tonight, it is not a rapture of church age saints. It is a rapture of tribulation saints, and we're going to look at the reasons for that. And again, this is not my opinion. I'm giving you Bible tonight. I'm not giving you Baptist theology. I'm not giving you Larkin or Ruckman or John Nelson Darby or C.I. Schofield. I'm giving you Bible. Now, I will give you a quote from somebody who is not in the Bible, and here is a quote about the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. For all of you who think that this is something that John Nelson Darby made up one day, how about this quote? For all the saints and elect of God are gathered prior to the tribulation that is to come, and are taken to the Lord lest they see the confusion that is to overwhelm the world because of our sins. That quote was from a man by the name of Ephraim the Syrian. And the date on that quote is from the year 373 AD. That's how far back. Now, that's not from the Bible, but that's a quote from Ephraim the Syrian from AD 373, where he said, "All the saints and elect of God are gathered prior to the tribulation that is to come." You can look that up. You can Google it. Ephraim the Syrian, AD 373. Okay? Now, let me give you some Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Paul says this in verse 13. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." It hurts to lose a loved one. I know people who have lost spouses. I know people who have lost children. I know people that have lost mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters and grandparents and aunts and uncles. And it hurts when a loved one dies. But Paul says that we don't sorrow the way that lost people sorrow. Why? Because we're looking forward to that reunion in heaven. And in Revelation chapter 4 and 5, John is taken up to heaven in a type of the pre-tribulation rapture. And when he gets up there, what does he see? It's a reunion. So Paul says that he does not want us to be ignorant about loved ones who have died, that we do not be consumed with overmuch sorrow, as the Bible says in another place, because we know that we're going to be reunited again with our loved ones. This is part of the blessed hope. Verse 14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Turn to Romans chapter 16. Turn to Romans chapter 16. Now, Andrew's question tonight is, who are the people that are resurrected before those of us who are alive at the time? Well, the clue to that answer in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it talks about them also which sleep in Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, "And with the trump of God and the dead in Christ shall rise first." So who are these people that are going to rise before we do? Let's just say that the rapture was to happen tonight. That would be fine with me if the rapture was to happen right now. But let's just say, hypothetically speaking, that the rapture happens tonight. Well, Paul says in verse 15, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain," that's us, "unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." And Paul goes on to talk about the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now look in Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, look at verse 7. Romans 16, verse 7. "Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who were also in Christ before me." So here we have the apostle Paul saying that the body of Christ existed before the apostle Paul. There are some people who are what we call hyper-dispensationalists. And a hyper-dispensationalist believes that the church did not start until the apostle Paul, that the body of Christ did not start until the apostle Paul. And that's not true. Jesus created the church at the cross. Jesus paid for the church with his own blood. And then Paul says in Romans 16, verse 7, salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, and my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles, who were also in Christ before me. So the body of Christ does not start with the apostle Paul. The body of Christ likely starts with the original apostles. Now, we don't have time to go into all the dispensational differences from the kingdom of heaven to the kingdom of God and the switch that happens at the end of Acts chapter 7, because we are focused on other things tonight. But we will touch on that for a little bit. We have to take our first break, but when we come back, we have set the table. We have looked at the seven-year time of Jacob's trouble, which includes the three-and-a-half-year time of the Great Tribulation. And we see that the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, when it takes place, all those in Christ are going to rise first. And when we come back, we're going to see exactly who that is. Glad you're with us tonight. And we're back for hour two of our Bible study tonight from Rapture to Revelation. And in the first half an hour, we looked at the 7-year time period of Jacob's trouble, which includes a 3.5-year time period of the Great Tribulation. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that's where we spent most of our time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul says that them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And then he says in verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So, Paul is telling us here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that at the moment of the rapture, now, turn to 1 Corinthians 15. I want to talk about a time element. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 and 52. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, now verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now, the Bible says, I want to point this out to you. 1 Corinthians 15, 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Now, the Bible says that this resurrection of the dead is going to take place in the twinkling of an eye. But the part where me and you get changed happens after that. 1 Corinthians 15, 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, comma, and we who are alive and remain, as Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, shall be changed. We are changed after the dead are raised in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. So what does that mean? Does that mean that all these things are all happening at exactly the same time? No, it doesn't mean that. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, 52, that the raising of the dead happens in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. It does not say how much time we're going to spend on earth after the dead are raised incorruptible. I'll repeat that one more time because I want to make sure that you get that. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Then we shall be changed. It is quite possible that there could be a time element taking place from the time that the dead are raised incorruptible to the time that we are removed in the rapture. Now, is there an example of that in the Bible? There absolutely is. The Bible talks about the graves being opened. Turn to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, verses 51 through 53. Matthew 27, 51 through 53. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were open. Here it is. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose. and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. So I want you to see that the first resurrection happens in three parts. It happens in first fruits, harvest, and gleanings. The first resurrection happens in three parts over a 2,000-year time period. The first part of the first resurrection is what they call first fruits, and that's what we see here in Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27, 51 through 53 is the first fruits part of the first resurrection. The harvest of the first resurrection is going to be the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And then the gleanings are going to be the tribulation saints. So when the Bible talks about the blessed is he who has part in the first resurrection, the first resurrection takes place over a 2,000-year time period. Matthew 27 shows you first fruits. 1 Corinthians 15, Titus chapter 2, John 14, Song of Solomon 2 shows you the harvest. And Revelation chapter 7 shows you the gleanings. So I want you to see, and I'm going to repeat it one more time, Matthew 27, 51 through 53. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. There was a time element taking place where the saints that rose from the graves in Matthew 27, who are the first fruits part of the first resurrection, they came out of their graves and they walked around the city. Could it be possible when the harvest happens, and Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that we will not go before the saints that have died in Christ, and they are going to be raised from the dead before we are raptured. Could it be possible that after those bodies at the rapture come out of the grave, could they come out and walk around for a while? Matthew chapter 27 would appear to lead you in that direction. I'm not teaching it as a doctrine. I'm just simply saying that the Bible makes a pretty good case when we look at the pre-tribulation rapture of the church in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, based on Matthew 27, 51 through 53, which is the first part of the first resurrection, we are the second part of the first resurrection. Well, could it be possible that these things will be repeated when the rapture happens? I don't know. But Southern Bell said, you're really making me think tonight, and that's good, because I want you guys to think. Matthew 27, 51 through 53 is the first fruits of the first resurrection. When you and I experience the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, we are going to be phase two of the first resurrection, called the harvest. And what does Ecclesiastes say? It says, the thing which hath been is the thing which shall be, and there is nothing new under the sun. So all I'm saying is that could it be possible in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, when the graves are opened in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Andrew was asking, who are the saints that are going to be resurrected? It is the entire body of Christ going back to the apostles. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says that the people who are The dead in Christ are part of the body of Christ. Paul says in Romans 16, verse 7, that he talks about other people being in the body of Christ before he was. And then, of course, the Apostle Paul teaches that we are the body of Christ. Romans 7:4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Ephesians 4:12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Charlton is saying, I thought when the graves was opened, it was paradise emptying. It certainly could have been, but the Bible says that when paradise was empty, he led captivity captive. The Bible says that Jesus Christ led captivity captive. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. That is when the Abraham's bosom was emptied. So, the question that I'm asking you as I'm answering your questions, the question that I want to ask you tonight is it possible, based on Matthew 27, 51 through 53, that there could be a little bit of a time lag when the pre-tribulation rapture of the church takes place and the graves are open and the bodies of them who are dead in Christ as part of the body of Christ are resurrected, is the world going to see them walking around on earth the way that the people in Jerusalem did when the graves were opened, and all those people watched them coming out of the graves? Charlton says that he sees a time lag. I see a time lag. I don't know how long of a time lag that it's going to be, but it certainly looks like there's a time lag there. Now, let me ask you, just kind of imagine with me for a moment. How great would that be? How incredible would that be to, if God would allow us just a little bit of time on earth after the graves start opening? And after these things begin to come to pass, and we know that we're about to get out of here in the rapture, and yet we're watching the graves open and the souls who were part of the body of Christ for the last 2,000 years, the graves are opening and they're walking around, and you and I know that we're going to get out of here any minute. And wouldn't it be great if there was a little bit of a time lag? What an amazing time of rejoicing that would be to see those things come to pass. And again, I don't know. No one really knows the exact details of how these things are going to take place, but when you do what we're doing tonight and you take all this scripture and you string it together and you compare scripture with scripture, it begins to present a pretty good case that the pre-tribulation rapture of the church is, there's going to be a little bit of a time lag there. And I greatly look forward to that. And it is my daily prayer that the Lord would allow me to live long enough to experience these things. Dr. Ruckman, he taught and he preached and he traveled the country and he had a Bible school in Pensacola, Florida. And for 64 years, Dr. Ruckman taught a pre-tribulation rapture. He even got to live to be 94 years old. But Dr. Ruckman did not live long enough to experience the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. Even though I know that it was his daily prayer that he would live long enough to see that. Well, now people like Dr. Ruckman and Clarence Larkin and everybody else, they're going to be part of the dead in Christ that are going to be raised first. And if we live long enough to experience the rapture, then we're going to watch them come out of the grave. And it's going to be an exciting time. It's going to be a very, very exciting time, and you're not going to want to miss it. Now, what's the qualification that you have to have in order to experience the rapture? Sometimes people will say that if you're not living right, that you won't be taken in the rapture. Sometimes people say if you're not looking for the rapture, you won't be taken in the rapture. Some people say that if you don't believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, then you're not going to be taken in the rapture. But none of those things are true. The only qualification that you need to have in order to experience the pre-tribulation rapture of the church is you have to be in the body of Christ. If you're not in the body of Christ, you will not experience the rapture. How do you get put into the body of Christ? Well, you have to become born again. You have to have Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you're not born again, if you're not in Christ, then you're not going to experience the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. You need to be saved in order to experience the pre-tribulation rapture. That is the one and only qualification. Now, if you're not living right when you get taken in the rapture, you're not going to like what comes after the rapture. And that is the judgment seat of Christ. And the judgment seat of Christ is not a judgment on sin. It is a judgment of works. What did you do for Jesus Christ after he saved you? If you have no works, you'll have no reward. And I don't know about you, but I very much want to have some kind of a reward when I get to the judgment seat of Christ. It doesn't have to be very big, but I want very much to have something at the judgment seat of Christ. This is why we do things like the free Bible and gospel tract program, why we do the billboard witnessing program, why we opened up a bookstore. This is why I preach and teach 10 hours a week in Bible studies and worship services. Prophecy podcasts, why I hand out gospel tracts on the street, why I witness to lost people about Jesus Christ. Why do any of us do these things? Because that is how you have works to put into the fires of the judgment seat of Christ. If you don't work now, you will not have a reward later. Now, you may think to yourself, I don't need a reward. I just want to go to heaven, and that will be fine with me. But if you're not prepared for the judgment seat of Christ, there's going to be some weeping and some crying. How do I know that? Because the Bible says that God doesn't take away all tears until Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21, verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. God doesn't take away the sorrow and the crying and the tears until after the rapture, after the time of Jacob's trouble, after the battle of Armageddon, after the great tribulation, after the second coming, after the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ, after the binding and releasing of Satan and his minions, after the great white throne judgment, then God takes away all sorrow and crying and tears. So if you're not prepared for the judgment seat of Christ, if you have no works to put into the fires of the judgment seat of Christ, you could be shedding tears and experiencing sorrow for about 1,007 years. And that's a long time. So this is why I always encourage you to get something done for Jesus Christ. And this is why we make these things possible here at Now the End Begins, because we want you to have something for the judgment seat of Christ. Now, not everybody can preach, but some people can. Not everybody can teach, but some people can. Not everybody can give and donate and support things financially, but some people can. Not everybody is good at praying. We all can pray, but there are some people that are uniquely gifted to pray. Everybody does something. And you have to identify what God has given you to do. The Bible says, charge them that be rich in this world, that they be not heady and high-minded. The Bible says that God gave some pastors and teachers and prophets and evangelists for the perfecting of the saints and the building up of the body till we all come together after the pre-tribulation rapture, after that harvest resurrection. And this is why we're always encouraging you to get in the game and to get something done for the Lord Jesus Christ while there is time to do it. Because as great as the rapture is going to be, as great as the rapture is going to be, it is also the end of your time to get something done for Jesus that will count for the judgment seat of Christ. The pre-tribulation rapture of the church signals the end of our time to work for the Lord for the judgment seat of Christ. C.T. Studd, only one life 'twill soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. I have that up on the shelves of the bookstore. Somebody was very sweet, and they gave that to me at the bookstore opening, and I opened it up, and it was this little framed wooden snippet of that quote from C.T. Studd. And every day I look at that on the shelf of the bookstore, and it reminds me, today is the day. Today is the only day that we have to get something done for Jesus Christ. Don't squander it. And when it comes time for the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, I want to go into that blessed event, that blessed hope, knowing that I did everything that I possibly could to get something done for Jesus Christ. I worked all day yesterday. I worked all day today. I'm probably going to work and do a podcast tomorrow, even though it's a major holiday. Why do I work so much? Because I want to get something done for Jesus Christ, because I feel that the rapture is very, very soon. And I want to be ready for the judgment seat of Christ. And with that, we have to take a quick break. And when we come back, we have a lot more to cover. So stay with us.
And do it now, because the rapture will come and Christ will return. It says in the Bible that he will come as a thief in the night. Thank you.
bread could buy a bag of gold. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind. A man and wife asleep in bed. She hears a noise and turns.
The Bible says that we are to be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. All right, let's turn to Revelation chapter 3. Sean Kay has a question about the casting out of Satan, and I'm going to include that answer. He says, does the Bible define when Satan is thrown out of heaven in relation to the rapture / tribulation? Could he be thrown down before the rapture? The answer to that question is no. So let's just take a quick look at the end times timeline, starting in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, we read this. Unto the angel, verse 14, Revelation 3:14, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. And Revelation 3, 14 through 22 talks about the last church age before the rapture of the church, and it is the Laodicean church age. It is a time period where the church has gone lukewarm. And this matches with 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 3, where it talks about the great falling away that the Apostle Paul said immediately precedes the rapture, a great falling away. And that has already been accomplished. It's still going on. It can certainly go deeper. But suffice to say that for the last 100 years, we have been living in the Laodicean church age. And in Revelation 3:20, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. And then this concludes in verse 22. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Turn the page. Revelation 4, 1 and 2. Revelation 4, verses 1 and 2. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me. This is 1 Thessalonians 4, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. So, the first thing that happens, you have to have the great falling away and the man of sin be revealed. And then the church is going to be pulled up and out of here in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. Now, turn to Revelation verse 5. Revelation verse 5, starting in verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside and sealed with seven seals. You match this with Daniel 12:4. Daniel was told to close a book. And here in Revelation 5, a book is being opened. I believe this is Daniel's book that he was told to close. And John says, and verse 3, and no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. You have the great falling away, the man of sin be revealed, the rapture of the church, the opening of Daniel's seven-sealed book, and then Revelation 6:1, Jesus opens the first seal from that book. And what happens? Antichrist. And when I saw the Lamb, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, a noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. So the first seal that opens up is Antichrist being revealed. And it certainly is possible that when Antichrist is revealed, he is going to come down from heaven. Why? Because the Bible says that when Jesus returns at the second coming, he comes down from heaven. Now, the question is, when is Satan cast out in this timeline? When is Satan cast out from heaven? The Bible is fairly clear as to when that takes place. We read about that in the book of Revelation, when Satan is cast out and he is no longer permitted. The Bible says that he is cast out of heaven. He is cast down. And this happens during the Great Tribulation that this takes place. And the Bible says that Satan is filled with anger because he knoweth that he has a short time. Now, where do we read about this? Turn to Revelation chapter 12. Turn to Revelation chapter 12. And this is at the start of the Great Tribulation. Revelation 12, verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Now, where does Revelation 12 match up? Revelation 12 matches up in Matthew chapter 24. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. Revelation 12 matches with Matthew 24, starting in verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Now, Jen is asking, isn't Satan already on earth? Satan has been on earth from the very beginning. Turn to Job chapter 1. Turn to Job chapter 1. And here we see something very startling. Job chapter 1, starting in verse 6. Job chapter 1, starting in verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Job is the very first book that was written in your Bible. The oldest book of the Bible is the book of Job. And Job clearly shows us that Satan can travel back and forth between heaven and between earth. But when you get to Matthew chapter 24:15, where Antichrist sits in the holy place that Daniel warns about, Jesus says, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand, then let them which be in Judea, this is Jewish people, flee into the mountains. Now, go back to Revelation chapter 12. Now that we've seen that for the past 6,000 years, Satan can travel back and forth between the earth and heaven. But then, halfway through the time of Jacob's trouble, what's going to take place? The great tribulation is going to start when Antichrist sits in the holy place in the rebuilt temple. And that is going to start the great tribulation. And that is when the dragon, which is the devil and Satan, is going to be cast out of heaven and he's not going to be allowed back in. And multiple times in Revelation chapter 12, it talks about Satan, the devil, the dragon, one in the same, being cast out of heaven. So to answer Sean Kay's question, when is Satan cast out from heaven? Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, at the start of the great tribulation. So, Satan is not going to be cast out during the first 3.5 years of the time of Jacob's trouble. Now, let me give you a few differences between the second coming of Jesus Christ, which is in Revelation 19, and the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, which we see in type in Revelation chapter 4. And let me just give you some of the differences between the rapture of the church and the revelation of Jesus Christ. They are not the same. They are not called the same. Things that are different are not the same. And so the Bible shows us very, very clearly that there is a huge difference between the pre-tribulation rapture of the church and the second coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus returns from the wedding at the second coming. Jesus does not come to earth looking for his bride. Jesus returns to the earth with his bride. Luke chapter 12, verse 36 says, "And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he shall return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately." Jesus returns from the wedding. He does not come to a wedding. Second point is, there is no resurrection at the second coming. Revelation 19 is the greatest picture in all the Bible of conditions that will be present at the second coming. In Revelation 19, we see King Jesus mounted and ready for battle. We see us, his bride, mounted on white horses, Revelation 19:14, as his army. And then we see the Battle of Armageddon as it takes place when we all arrive on earth. What we don't see mentioned anywhere in Revelation 19 is a resurrection or a rapture of anybody. The parallel passages in Zechariah 14 don't mention it either. Why not? Because it is not there. There is no resurrection at the second coming. The third point is, the pre-tribulation rapture of the church is comforting. We read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 where Paul says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." But what does it say about the day of the Lord, which is the second coming? Completely different. The day of the Lord is not comforting. Turn to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, this is what the people who were going to be kept safe in Sela Petra, this is going to be their reaction to the second coming. Revelation 1:7, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so, amen." Those Jewish people that God's going to keep safe for 3.5 years at the Red Rock city of Sela Petra, which is Edom and Moab, they're going to be looking up in the sky when they see us returning with Jesus Christ, and they are going to wail because they know that they killed Jesus Christ. The Jewish people called for his execution, and the Romans carried it out. The Jews said at that time, "Let his blood be on our heads and on our children's heads and on our children's children's heads." And for the past 2,000 years, that guilty blood has been on the head of every Jewish person. And so in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, at the second coming, they're going to look up and they're going to cry and weep and wail, even though God kept them safe for 3.5 years. There's going to be an element of guiltiness that's associated with that. Amos 5, 18 through 20. Amos 5, 18 through 20. "Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord! To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. As if a man did flee from a lion, and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall, and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark, and no brightness in it?" The pre-tribulation rapture of the church is comforting. The day of the Lord is terrifying. Our next point, no mention of the church. No mention of the church on earth between Revelation chapter 4 through Revelation chapter 19. There is no mention of the church on earth. If you look at Revelation chapter 3, and one of the things that repeats 7 times in the first 3 chapters of Revelation, it says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Now, that is the last time that that phrase, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. And the next time that that phrase is mentioned, Revelation 13:9, it no longer includes the church. Revelation 13:9 says, if any man has an ear, let him hear. Why does it not say what the Spirit saith unto the churches, which that's what it said 7 times in the first 3 chapters of the book of Revelation? If any man have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. 7 times that is given in Revelation 1, 2, and 3. But when you get to Revelation 13, verse 9, if any man have an ear, let him hear, period. Why does the Bible not say what the Spirit saith unto the churches? Because the church is not on the earth. And these are all reasons why there has to be a pre-tribulation rapture of the church. Now, how about this one? Who are going to make the babies in the millennium? If the rapture of the church is at the second coming, and all of the wicked followers of Antichrist are now dead and in hell, who is left to populate the millennium? The Bible clearly teaches that once we're raptured and given glorified bodies, we are never again going to make babies like non-glorified body people do. The pre-trib rapture happens, an unsaved world is left behind, then the Jewish remnant flees to Sela Petra, and the Gentiles who become tribulation saints that live through this time period are now able to repopulate the world when Jesus returns. Rapture these same people, and you have now lost the ability to repopulate the earth. Only with a pre-tribulation rapture can this be possible. Matthew 24, verse 30. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. And so for all of these reasons, we believe that the Bible teaches a pre-tribulation rapture of the church, as well as a post-tribulation rapture of church saints. Of tribulation saints. A post-tribulation rapture of tribulation saints. We only have a couple minutes left, but turn to Revelation chapter 7, and I'll show you what I'm talking about. Revelation chapter 7. Verses 1 through 3. And after these things, I saw 4 angels standing on the 4 corners of the earth, holding the 4 winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the 4 angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And then the Bible goes on to show you the sealing of the 144,000, and that takes place on earth. But when you get to Revelation chapter 14, verse 1, those same 144,000 are now in heaven. Revelation 14, verse 1, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. Verse 3 says, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the beast, the 4 beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. Do you see that somewhere between Revelation 7 and Revelation 14, those 144,000 were raptured off of the earth. That is not the rapture of the church. That is the post-tribulation rapture of the tribulation saints. Do you see how the Bible... This is why, when I am referring to the rapture of the church, I call it the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, so there is no doubt in your mind which rapture I'm referring to. Because in the book of Revelation, the 144,000 that are sealed on earth in Revelation chapter 7, seven chapters later, are now standing before the throne and they are up in heaven. How did they get there? They got there in a post-tribulation rapture of tribulation saints. There is more than one rapture. And with that, we are just about out of time for tonight. I want to thank you guys for tuning in and being part of this program. And I love when you write and you ask questions. That really helps to keep me sharp. And I know that the answers are edifying for you guys to hear. But when you guys have a lot of questions, I like that. I love that. So keep those questions coming. And there's no such thing as a silly question. They're all good questions. Lord willing, we'll see you back here tomorrow at noon Eastern time. I think we're going to do a Prophecy News podcast, even though it's a holiday, because there is simply so much news going on. And now what they're talking about is now... If you remember last year when Donald Trump said that it was highly likely that the coronavirus was released from a laboratory in Wuhan, China, and everybody said that Trump was crazy and conspiracy theory nut, well, what is everybody talking about right now? They are talking at Rand Paul, Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz. Even Democrats are talking about the high likelihood that the COVID-19 coronavirus was released from a laboratory in Wuhan, China. And I think that's what we're going to talk about tomorrow for our Prophecy News podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Lord willing, we'll see you back here tomorrow, noon Eastern time, for another Prophecy News podcast. Have a great night, everybody.
Life is in your hand. When nations rings out through the ages. In your own
for the weak. Your love is the anthem of nations.